behind your disguise. It builds up inside until I have to blurt. Bullshit alert, yes, bullshit alert. It's bullshit alert. Welcome to Bullshit Alert, everyone. I'm your host, Jeff Craigs. And as usual, I have a group of friends with me today, and I'm pretty sure they are all lying to me. If they're lying and I think they're telling the truth, I will award them points. If they're telling the truth and I think they're lying, I will award them points. If I guess right and they just make me laugh, I will award them points. Danny's mother does not think the points are fair, but they are. This is the way the game is played. The scoring system is very complicated and precise and available on our Instagram page, Bullshit Alert Without an I. It's not on our Twitter, but feel free to follow us on Twitter and send us an email at bullshitalert@gmail.com. Is there an I in the bullshit alert on our email? No I. So just send us emails. Let us know what you're thinking. You can ask questions of any of our panelists, even our guests, and I'll reach out to our guests. You can send us pins for Danny. You can send like consumable food in cans for Steven, medication for Lily, anything that you want, anything. Just feel free to get in touch with us. Joining me today are my bullshitting friends of, as usual, our normal panelists. We have Danny Marshall. Hi, Danny.
Hey, Jeff. How's it going today?
Very good. We've had a storm in Chicago, so it was a little hectic and crazy here for a little bit. But everything's good. Joining us, Lily Moss. Hi, Lily.
Hi. I'm shot out of a cannon today. I have a lot of energy.
How come? Because you would you say you normally have a lot of energy?
No. I don't know. I've just been stuck inside for like a couple weeks, and I've done so little that I'm glad to be here and talking to other humans.
Oh, good. Well, we're glad you're here as well.
You say and that, but I've tried to make plans with you, and you seem to be busy all the time.
You've even tried to converse with Lily, and Lily just has, before the show started, just sort of shot everything off away from you to other people. So maybe it's just the two of you and your friendship.
Yeah. Okay. We'll talk.
Friendship is dying, Danny.
Yeah. Well, nah. Whatever.
Makes sense. Also joining us, our guest today, Mr. Tim Metzler. Tim is an actor from Chicago, Illinois. He performs with the Second City, with a national touring company. And a little known fact for some folks, but for Tim's biggest fans, Tim writes articles for a fantasy football website.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, what's the website, Tim?
Thanks for having me, y'all. It's called Fantasy Pros. I believe it's the largest pure fantasy sports website out there. There's almost 300,000 followers on various social media platforms. There's Fantasy Pros out of Las Vegas, and I strictly write fantasy football articles.
Wow. Wait, is it pros as in P-R-O-S or pros as in P-R-O-S-E?
Go back to reading your Pablo Neruda right now, okay? Get out of here, Steven. Right. Fantasy sonnets.
I love that idea of writing like fantasy, I don't know, self-insert fiction about football.
My wife keeps telling me, like, you know what would be great? This would be a hilarious article, honey. If you wrote fantasy, so you take fantasy and you overlap it on the fan, and like when you submit articles to these guys, they're like, hey, not enough stats. So they're not looking for like deep Lord of the Rings, like Glorfindel references and stuff like that.
That's cool. Which is up your alley. Like, you could do that.
Oh, absolutely. I could, but I refuse to. I refuse to peak this early in my life.
What is the most recent title of an article that you wrote?
The most recent article I wrote was Schrodinger's stat.
That was
Joe Burrow in 2021 fantasy football.
Wow.
So yeah, what I do is I do a dueling existence review for players, and I take their stats and I give them high probability and low probability of outcomes for their season. And then I add jokes to that. It's like Schrodinger's cat, but for fantasy football.
Wow. Yeah, wow. I had annoying? No idea. Yeah, no, not
so
at all.
Annoying. Oh, okay.
I had no idea you did it until the other day you and I were talking, and I said, what are you doing? What's up with you? And you listed everything that you were doing.
I'm sorry.
I was wondering if you had like a daytime job that you were doing, but you listed everything that you do. And that was one thing that I did not know about you at all. And I think it's cool.
Yeah, my dad started me really, really early with fantasy football, all sorts of different types of leagues. So I've just been obsessed with it forever. Then the pandemic opened up the opportunity to not have many working opportunities. Right. And then I'm sued.
What an opportunity.
So yeah, very cool. Danny, do you play fantasy football or fantasy sports?
I do play. I'm a member of two fantasy football leagues, but I'm not an avid partaker. My brother is a big fan, listens to the podcast and everything. I do one with my family, one with my friends, but I avidly root for the NFL to be disbanded and demolished because of just everything about it. And, you know, CTE should be addressed more and things like that. But I'm a big fan of it. I played fantasy baseball as a kid, too.
All right. Nice. All great.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you,
Steven,
Jeff.
Do you play any fantasy sports?
I don't. None at all.
Do you follow sports?
I do, but not to the level of which I think a hardcore fan would. I'm like casually invested in a few things, and that's kind of my MO.
Do you get reception down in the bunker?
I get some reception down in the bunker, Danny. Yes.
All right. All very weird answers. Thank you, Steven. Lily, do you play any fantasy sports?
I did one fantasy football league in college, and I did not understand how it worked. So I drafted only quarterbacks and refused to trade the entire season, and I did not do well.
It's a strategy. Don't knock it. That's what you chose, and some people take those types of strategies. Tim, how many fantasy football teams are you a part of?
I think I'm going to have 10 this year.
Wow.
It's a little too much. And then I had to say no to a few.
Wow.
Broke my heart, but you gotta limit yourself at some point.
Draw a line. Yeah, you gotta draw a line.
Yes.
Do you play for money in a lot of those?
Yeah, I had a good year last year, but we'll see. And it ebbs and flows.
Okay. I was about to say, I don't think you can answer that, and then you went ahead and answered it. So totally trying to protect you.
We'll edit it out in post-production.
Probably not. Probably not. You heard his voice a little bit earlier. It's my best friend, our timekeeper, and our scorekeeper. It is Stephen Carter. Stephen, how are you today? How's the bunker?
Bunker's good. You know, I think we need to get ready and get thrown into this first round, though. I think
we're behind time?
I think we're behind a little, yeah.
Okay, then let's do it. It's time for our first round. Our first round is, what is the weirdest thing that happened to you this week? So let's start with Danny. Danny, what was the weirdest thing that happened to you this week?
So,
by the way, were you just smelling a marker?
No, I was just kind of holding it as a fake mustache, even though I have one. I don't know. I was just playing, doing a bit for you four, not for the listeners, but now the listeners get to enjoy it.
Yeah. Oh, nice. It didn't work for us, and it didn't work for the listeners. So,
that makes me feel great.
What was the weirdest thing that happened to you this week?
Jeff, Danny's mom is going to be very upset with that comment.
I know.
I'll tell her to skip this episode. For the listeners that have not listened to last week's episode, and for Tim, last week I ate a bunch of hot wings, like very hot wings, and challenged myself, my spice tolerance at Buffalo Wild Wings. And that was, you know, the day before we recorded. The weirdest thing that happened to me this week was that I have not pooped since I had those wings.
All right, and you're keeping track of it?
I mean, when it's been almost a week of not pooping, you keep track of it.
It Are you doing anything to try to rectify it?
Rectify it.
Nice. Yeah. So not actively. I was away with my family for the weekend, and travel messes stuff up too. And then so I haven't been, that was my goal for this week, but I have, I've had bad experiences, rectifying, this has happened to me before, where I had a wing eating contest with some friends a few years ago, and same thing happens. And I was actually in the late Harold Ramis Film School program, and, ended up skipping Rachel Mason's class because of how I was feeling.
Because you were constipated.
Because I was really constipated, and I had a bag of prunes when I got home. And then like 3 hours later, the opposite happened. So I'm trying to find a happy medium. And so I'm trying to, I'll test that out. But I have not really tried to rectify it.
How's your squat game? Is it good or bad?
I haven't done squats in years, if that's the question. But I feel very dense downstairs, and I'm wearing mostly elastic waistbands, no belts right now.
This would be a great story for like the call map to go to sleep. Danny would be like, I had some hot wings, and it really backed me up.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, Danny.
Yeah.
What is your normal pattern in a week?
Are you oftentimes
backed up, or is this, are you a frequent
Lily can answer this,
Tim. Rest of the podcast, god damn.
I talk about poop more than most adults, and I'm not even technically an adult, and I talk about a lot, and I love pooping because it's very relieving, and I poop at least once
Steven,
a day.
Steven, how are we doing on time?
Terrible. We're doing terrible. We can stop the poop talk.
I try to poop twice a day, usually.
Okay.
Twice a day?
Once every morning. It does seem dramatic.
Seems really dramatic.
And traumatic.
And so desperate.
No, it's so relieving. I love it.
You know, I read an article which talked about how there is a thing about when you are away from your home, like on a trip or on a vacation, how your body is not comfortable, so it won't allow you to have a bowel movement until you return home. And so people get very sick on flights on return trips because their body is anticipating the fact that they'll finally be home to a familiar commode so that they can use the facilities.
Familiar commode. Yeah, has contributed.
Just trying to talk in a little more elevated manner so I didn't have to say the word poop, because I feel like it's been said so often.
But boy, are my farts stinky.
All right. Thank you for that, Danny. Lily, what was the weirdest thing that happened to you this week?
I've been pretty cooped up this week. But the one thing I did do was I got out and I went to Prospect Park in Brooklyn, and I went to see a sculpture that my dad installed there many, many years ago and is still there.
Really? What is it?
It's a giant abstract marble sculpture. He was a fine artist for many years. He worked in Italy. And he got to put a sculpture in Prospect Park, and I went looking for it this week, and it's apparently still there.
When was the last time you saw it?
I had never seen it before this. I did, honestly.
You've never seen it?
No, I had seen pictures on his website, which I'm not going to give out here.
Why wouldn't you?
Because our listener base would go there and flood it, and the traffic would take it down.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I don't know. My dad does a lot of weird art, and I don't want to be judged for it.
All right.
When you said that your dad installed, I thought he was a foreman and hammered into the ground a piece of someone's art. But
no, it was his art.
What is the name of it?
That's a good question. It didn't have like a plaque or anything, so I don't know.
My sweet, sweet Lily.
You can usually tell if art's really good if it doesn't have a plaque, then that's
right. People just know the name of it, like, right?
No way, this is the one without the plaque.
Right, doesn't need it. Like when you go down to yes. Chicago to what is it on Madison?
Oh sure,
the Michigan? Picasso. Yeah.
Oh yes.
No, it's like Clark and Madison, I think, or Clark and Washington. It's the Picasso. You don't need to know the name of it. Nobody
is that
really
that big
knows
red that. Thing.
No, it's the big thing with the. Oh, I don't know the name of that red thing either. But the Picasso is the one that has things. The long sort of nose and the mane behind it. Yeah, it's famous. It's in front of the Daily Center.
Ah.
So your story holds up, Lily. Thank you for that, Tim. What was the weirdest thing that happened to you this week?
All right, I have another food-related one, but I won't go through the whole process of how food works with your body. However, my wife and I have been trying to intake more omega-3s, and she does not like fish. So I got all sorts of different like food because I love going grocery shopping. I love cooking food. I do all that stuff, and for me, I like to buy myself something that she can't have, sort of as like a treat. Like, I'm allergic to cacao powder, so she can have chocolate. I can't have chocolate.
Oh, no.
So I buy her chocolate. Sorry. But for me, I like buying stuff that other people would be like, that's gross. You should get out of here. So for me, I found cod liver. If you've never had cod liver, it comes in a little can like anchovies. And depending on the brand or where you get it from, it can be more or less expensive. But typically it's just jacked full of omega-3s and you fry it up in a little pan, almost like it's just a little morsel. And so she was gone playing tennis with some friends and I made myself for the first time. And you know what? Probably the last time I made myself a nice old can of cod liver. And I put it on some avocado, and that was a weird experience for me because I normally don't go that far.
The fact that you put it on avocado, I thought for sure.
Because I'm sad, sure Jeff. Because I'm a sad man.
I thought you were going to put it on a piece of toast or something too. Or a cracker, but no, you put it on an avocado. And I like to think that the avocado wasn't shelled; it was just on an avocado that you could lick it off.
I eat it like an apple. I don't even peel my avocados.
What did it taste like?
So I definitely added my fair share of like, I had some olive oil in there. I had a little bit of soy sauce. I added a little fish oil as well, just a dash. A little bit of white wine vinegar. And so it tasted like all of those things.
It had
some fishiness to it.
It tasted
like a fancy person came in and like, threw something in my mouth. I was like, oh, what did you throw in my mouth? That tasted fancy. And that's all it was. Wow. I could, undiscernible. It was just tasted fancy to me.
Wow. Have you ever had Marmite?
No. Do I need to?
No. I watch a lot of British shows just because I like British humor. And I just they talk about Marmite so much that I ordered
so
some.
Bad.
Yeah, I ordered some for us, and I shared it with my wife and her brother Bud, who listens to the podcast. Also, I think all we have are family members who listens to the podcast. But Bud, I bought it so Bud, Jeannie, and I, and Jeannie's parents could try it, and we all took one bite, and every single one of us spit it back out. It is just the most uneatable thing I've ever had, ever. Wow. But we didn't put it on avocado. We put it on toast. So maybe that's where it went wrong.
It combines perfectly. It's all kind of mushy in your mouth.
Yeah, yeah. I've had Vegemite. A camp counselor was Australian and had a tube of Vegemite and brought it with him to every meal. And then finally, you know, what felt like months later, it was like two days after we met him, he was like, oh, I'm not going to do an accent. He just said, you guys should try some. And we were all like, you know, 10-year-olds trying Vegemite. And it was the worst experience of my life.
I bet. You know, also, Tim, just one quick thing. And then we have to talk to Steven. But you could just take fish oil. pills every day. That's what I do. I take 1,000 milligrams of fish oil every day. Everybody should. You could do that. That way you don't have to make concoctions.
Or just do what I do and probably die early. Like, to hell with all that stuff. Like,
it's an option. Yeah, that's an option. Steven, what was the weirdest thing that happened to you this week?
A child came up to me and said, "Why do you have such a big belly?"
Oh, no. Some kid body shamed you?
Yeah. Luckily, they didn't see under my shirt. And then it would have been, "Why do you have such a big hairy belly?" But
And what was your answer?
I was like, "Yeah, most days I do."
Most days?
Your answer was most days. "Why do you have such a big belly?"
Most days.
Most days.
And then it was a sarcastic shrug, and he just looked away. I don't know.
Where were you?
I was at the grocery store. He was at the right height. I was at Schnucks.
To be right.
I was at Schnucks.
Oh, Schnucks. Your local Schnucks.
Local Schnucks. Schnucks. Every Schnucks is local. Yeah. Mine is local to me. He was at the right height. Like, his head was right at my stomach. And I think maybe a little lower. So the proportions just looked immensely bigger, I think, is what it was.
Was there an adult with this child?
Not this one. Not this one.
So some roaming kid just inspecting bellies around?
Really? A feral child.
Is he a schnook? Is he related to the schnooks? How old was the kid?
I don't know. I'm not good with ages anymore, but probably 7.
That's a little old for he should know about body shaming. I feel like they teach that in second grade.
He might just be a mean kid, though.
That's very true.
Oh, that's right. That's kids are mean.
I also don't quite understand your answer, because the way you put it means that at some point in your life, you were really good with ages, but you're not good with ages anymore.
Well, we're all good with ages when we're that age.
Yeah, Jeff, I guess so.
How old do you think we are?
Oh,
I can do that real quick. Steven, I think you're like 40. Lily, I think you're like 20. Danny, I think you're like 13. So, Tim?
Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're fine.
Now, Jeff, can we guess your age?
Nope. All right, let's recap.
Okay.
What everybody's answers were. Danny, what was the weirdest thing that happened to you this week?
I haven't pooped since I had those spicy wings last week.
Lily?
I haven't pooped since I saw my dad's sculpture in Prospect Park.
Great. Tim?
I ate cod liver this week for the first time.
And no discussion of bowel movements from Tim.
No bowel movements.
Steven?
A kid made fun of my big, big belly.
All right. Danny, your story's bullshit. Lily? I'm going to go, your story's bullshit. Tim, I think your story's true. Steven, I think your story's bullshit. Danny, true or bullshit?
Yeah, it's bullshit. I had a fiery poo the next morning, and then back to normal.
I'm glad. Lily?
Thanks.
While it's true, my dad did have a sculpture in Prospect Park. I don't know if it's still there, and I want to go try and find it.
Good. I hope you do. But I did get that one correct. You get 5 points. You get 5 points if I'm wrong. But I got it correct. Go look for it, Lily. Tim, true or bullshit?
Yeah, I'm so sorry. It was bullshit. The truth is I love cod liver, and I've had it many times in my life. But I didn't have it. I haven't had it for over a month.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
And I wouldn't put it on avocado.
That should have been it.
I expected.
Yeah. Steven, true or bullshit?
It was bullshit.
Wow. Only got one wrong. Steven, how are we on time and what's our score?
Time, we're fine. We have caught up. We have caught up. Score? Tim is winning with 5 points.
Wow, it's a barn burner. That
what?
That's
learn new phrases.
It's really a barn burner. Only up by 5 points, everybody. That's the end of the first round.
Yeah, I hate barns. Burn them all down.
Burn them all down. All right. it's time for our second round. And on our second round, it's get to know our guests. I have a recording from someone who is familiar with Tim, and I'm going to play that recording. And then Tim is going to explain that situation a little further. And then Danny and Lily are going to have to guess if that story is true or bullshit. So here is that recording. Hello, my name is Jeff Griggs. I'm from Chicago, Illinois. A longtime listener, first time recorder for the show. And I'm here to tell a story about Mr. Tim Metzler. I met Tim many, many years ago and had the pleasure of directing him in a sketch show that was going to be based off of a cruise ship. And we had to start in Puerto Rico. So we flew from Chicago to Puerto Rico, where we then would get on the ship and rehearse for a week. And then I would leave the cast and they would do the show for the next 4 months. So the flight from Chicago to Puerto Rico is 4 hours and 36 minutes. And we got on the flight and pretty uneventful, normal flight, pretty comfortable. And everybody was pretty, you know, pretty excited. For a lot of folks, it was the first time flying out of the country. And Puerto Rico is considered a U.S. region. So that part isn't really considered out of the country, but the rest of our contract or their contract was out of the country. Anyway, midway through the flight, I turned and saw a lot of the different people in the cast watching movies, reading books, playing games on their phones or their iPads or computers. And I looked at Tim, and Tim wasn't doing anything. He was just staring straight ahead. And I checked back on him maybe an hour later, still just staring straight ahead, not a book, not a magazine, nothing. 4.5 hours later, we landed, and on the bus back, bus to the ship, I said, "Tim, what were you doing during the flight?" And he said, "I forgot to bring anything to occupy myself during the entire flight, so I just stared ahead." And I said, "What did you think about?" And he said, "I thought about the meal I had last night, and I just enjoyed the flight." That is my story about Tim Metzler.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Tim, that's the story. Lily, Danny, and Stephen, if you have any questions too, any questions for Tim about this experience?
I have a question for Jeff, actually. You, Jeff.
For me, not the person who recorded it?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh. How many people did you reach out to get a recording, and how many, and were they busy?
No, I only reached out to one person.
Was this your first choice? And yeah, he was available. And I heard he has a very busy schedule. I heard he has to record a bunch of episodes in a row because he's a very busy schedule.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. But I did not reach out to anybody purposefully because I'd heard this story before. And so I was excited to have them tell that.
Okay.
Any questions for Tim?
There's a bit about this in Seinfeld, and they comment how it's kind of psychotic, and I agree. How do you go 4.5 hours just doing nothing? And plain 4.5 hours is worse than just like sitting at home 4.5 hours.
I think I'd disagree with you. I think plain is great. So I have an attention problem for sure. When I get distracted super easily. So for me, putting me in a metal tube in the sky with nothing to do, that's like my magic time. I do so much thinking without moving, sometimes even without blinking. My wife will even say things like, "What are you doing?" And I'll just be on the couch and I'm just sort of sitting there for hours. Totally real. And that's unfortunately a sad.
Would you call it relaxing? Is this relaxing time, or is this like thought-provoked?
It's like deep thought. It's kind of meditative, actually. Yeah.
Do you is it like creative, like you come up with ideas and stuff, or is it just more of just like an inner working on yourself?
Yeah, it's always usually pretty creative or thought process. And I will go back through memories and in life, and I'll try and be like, well, you know, what were some of the things that my dad said to me or my mom, or, you know, what experiences do I have that I've like repressed over time? And usually it's these things happen when I'm like in the shower or where I'm running, or if I'm driving long distances. I'll just turn everything. I'll take out the earbuds and I literally will just zone out of everything.
So mid run, you're running in the middle of something. You just dead stop and stand there.
And say and think, what have I repressed?
Well, when I'm running, I'll keep running. You know, running is a little different. And same with driving. Like, I certainly don't stop driving while I'm driving. Let the car kind of do what it wants to for a while.
So is it sort of like self-therapy that you enact in yourself as you are doing all these things?
Yeah. So growing up, my dad was a psychiatrist. And so he oftentimes would encourage me to do this, where he'd be like, go sit down and think, like, which I suppose any dad could say, but in particular, it was very mindy and stuff like that. Yeah.
We are very different people. Today during work, I work from home, and I watched the entire first season of The Sinner during work because I didn't want to be alone with my own thoughts because they scare me. So, yeah.
So you're on the plane, and are you sitting next to a cast member, a fellow cast member, or who were you next to, a stranger? Were you near a friend? Or
I honestly don't even remember.
No one was sitting by anybody.
Yeah.
No one was, everybody was individual.
So you couldn't say like, hey, can I borrow a book?
And I think even at that point in time, had I been sitting next to a cast member, I you know, being on the cruise contract for 4.5 months, those are like the only people that you really like know. We probably would have had an agreement of like, don't talk to me. I won't talk to you. We have time for this. So let's just give each other the flight, you know?
So you didn't pick up SkyMall or even like the seat back, the card about, you know, what to do in case of landing on the water or anything like that. You didn't even read any of that.
No, I might have picked up the thing that's like the, you know, here's where your barf bag is, and here's where the life preserver is under your seat, and in case of emergencies, you know, bucklers, like that sort of card. But honestly, it would have been straight away. Like, I would have looked out the window as we took off, and then as soon as we got up to that 40,000 feet, I would have just zoned out. It's like that. It happens instantly.
Wow. And you were sober?
Debatably, yeah.
Okay. Some people, I don't know, some people take Xanax on a flight to chill.
No,
out.
So at that point in time, I absolutely would have been 100% sober. I don't really take much in the way of, I think maybe I had, Dramamine or something once I was on the ship, but I don't think I took it on the flight. No, maybe Zyrtec. I had Zyrtec in me for my allergies. It's some pretty hard antihistamines
on a plane.
Right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there food provided? Did you eat? Or did you kind of just put your hand up and say, no, I'm in.
So this one I do remember. They gave me a bag of pretzels, and I was worried there wouldn't be any pretzels on the ship. So I did put them in my backpack.
Did those pretzels last 4 months?
I never ate them. I remember taking them out of the backpack, and you're like, oh, no way. They did have pretzels all over the ship.
All right. Wow. So let's get everybody's verdict. Danny, do you think this story is true, or do you think it's bullshit?
This is tough. My gut is bullshit, so I'm going to say bullshit, but I'm not surprised if this is true.
Lily?
Tim looks like a contemplative guy. I'm going to say it's true. I think he could do it.
All right, Steven?
I mean, I kind of hope it's true. And I also hope that, like, there's some, like, random person on that plane that knows this story and will reach out to us at bullshitalert@gmail.com.
Yeah, that'd be great. No I in that. You get Tim, you get 10 points if you are, if they guess incorrect, they get 10 points if they guess correctly. Tim, is this story true or is it bullshit?
I mean, Jeff, you may have thrown in a detail there or something like that. That was a slide from the truth or something like that. But everything I heard was pure truth.
It is true.
From your perspective, wow. Yeah.
The story is 100% true. 4.5 hours. I don't even know if he blinked. He just stared straight ahead. And afterwards, he said, I just forgot a book. So I just thought, I'll just enjoy myself thinking. And so we just thought through the full flight.
So given that this is true and you forgot something on the plane, that means you also forgot it on the 4-month trip on the boat, right?
Well, we have lots of suitcases that he could have taken stuff on.
Oh, I see. Okay, sorry.
He had an entire suitcase just filled with puzzles and games and books.
Pretzels.
various Rubik's Cubes. Yeah, all the pretzels one could enjoy.
He's part of the Roald Dahl Empire.
Yeah, no, that's sadly all true. I distinctly remember the meal before being au cheval, and we'd tried to get in there for a while. So it was one that was worth thinking about.
Yeah, okay. Context. Now, we should have asked what the meal was.
You need to digest mentally and physically that meal. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And it's a big burger. I remember when you were getting off the ship, sending an urgent email reminding you to bring something on the flight on the way home. Because they're so worried.
I never did.
Let's get an update on our score and our time. Steven, what is our score and how are we doing on time?
Danny has 0 points. Lily has 10 points. And Tim is still in first place with 15 points.
Ooh, he's running away with it, everybody.
Damn, that's a barn burner right there.
No. It was a barn burner earlier.
We don't have time for more jokes. We don't have time for more jokes.
Thank you, Steven.
Cut it. Lucas, cut it.
Yeah, it's a blowout now. It's a blowout. And that is the end of our second round.
Oh, yeah, Jeff, that story was, man, that's classic. I almost forgot about that.
I think about it every time I see you. Just use staring straight ahead.
You started on social media, you put, I think, a picture of me just staring off at the back of a bus or something.
That's right.
And be like, this man. And it just went on for months.
I forgot I did that for a long time. I just posted pictures of you and it just said, this man.
Yeah.
And it was very popular. People wrote me about it all the time. Like, who is that? Because you just went on a ship and no one knew who you were or... You were gone for so long, and I just kept posting pictures going, this man, I forgot about that. And then Beth sent me messages going, thank you so much for keeping this up so I can keep track of what's going on with Tim. Like, these are all just pictures I took of Tim doing random odd stuff on a cruise ship during one. I think we were on this ship for like 12 days or something like that, the install. So, 100%. Knew from inviting him on that I was going to record something because it's one of the most fascinating things that I've ever experienced. 4.5 hours never looking at anything on a flight.
That makes sense. I should have, the fact that you told the story, I was like, maybe.
And there are clues. Whatever.
I'm the other, I overload. I always have an iPad, my phone, and a book just because I've got to read or do something during a flight.
I guarantee you, though, the whole flight, you're just scrolling through your watch.
Yeah, it's true. It's time for our third round, and our third round is an all play. It's called Historical Facts. Each member of our panel is going to tell a historical fact, and I'm going to have to guess if that historical fact is true or if it's a bullshit historical fact that they made up, but I think it might have been true. So, that's the way the round works. You get 30 points if you fool me. I get 30 points if I guess it right. I don't know. I'll give them to Steven. He doesn't count anyway. So
my mom is going to file so many complaints.
It's very clear. The scoring's very clear. Lily, what is your historical fact?
Okay. So this week I read the book Into Thin Air by John Krakauer. Amazing book. Very interesting. And upon reading this book, just a side note, and learning about the death of 8 people in Everest, I was immediately like, I'm going to climb Everest. I want to climb Everest.
It's never going to happen.
Honestly, it looks so cool. So after I finished the book, I started just like researching videos and stuff like that. And I learned about something I did not know that was like fairly recently discovered. I think it was like 2015, 2016, that there is a pathogen only, or disease only found on Mount Everest and like the surrounding area, called something cephaloneurosis, something like that. And it's basically just, it causes like a very particular swelling of a part of the brain. And it makes you like really slap happy. And they now attribute something like 10% of deaths on Everest to people just, or it can be partially ascribed to people being infected with this and then like not taking the precautions that they needed to and dying.
Okay, so which part is your historical fact? The disease or that you read a book?
The disease, the fact that there's this like weird unknown pathogen in the Himalayan mountains.
What was the name of that again?
It was like cephaloneurosis, something like that.
I think I went to high school with him.
Yeah, great guy.
Okay, so what if the book makes you want to climb Mount Everest and this disease doesn't scare you away from it?
No, because it's really only affects people who climb Mount Everest without oxygen. And, you know, I have a lot of a grand view of my own strengths, but I don't think I could do it without oxygen. With oxygen, easy. Without it, maybe not.
Have you seen the movie based on the book?
No, I didn't even know there was a movie.
Oh, it's really good. You should watch it. It's really good.
Who plays John Krakauer?
Nicolas Cage.
That's a callback to a conversation we had before the podcast started, so it'll land really well.
I'm just trying to get quiet Steven laughs, and I'm getting all of them, so that's fine.
Gosh, Lily, I wish I could remember. It's really good.
And I'll look it up.
Yeah, the main person is very cool. Okay, well, thank you for that, Lily. Danny, what is your historical fact?
My fact is that there is the largest rotating and revolving globe in the world, and that is in Yarmouth, Maine, and it's called Eartha.
Okay, and did you see it on your recent voyage into Maine?
I did not. I drove past it. It's on Route 1. But growing up, I spent most of my childhood summers in Maine, and I would try to visit it frequently. And it is an enormous globe, the largest in the world. It's pretty cool. It's like 41 feet in diameter. And it's the only you know thing of its kind. It's pretty cool, and I think technically it's 1/1,000,000th scale of the actual Earth, which is pretty big.
And is it correct?
Yeah, I found Long Island.
But it has like the countries exactly correct.
Yeah, and it's at a 23.5 degree angle on the axis that planet is on, and it's proportionally, you know, it checks out.
Now, when you say it's on Long Island, is that a part of Maine?
No. I said I found Long Island on the globe.
Ah, okay. I thought you said it's on Long Island.
No. Nothing's on Long Island. Never come here. But no, it's in Yarmouth, Maine.
Okay. All right. Believable. Thank you, Danny. Tim, what's your historical fact?
My historical fact is that, you know, everybody knows that on December 14th, 1799, George Washington died.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we all know that.
Everybody knows that one. And however, before he was buried, there was an attempt by his dear, dear friend, another person we all know and love, Dr. William Thornton, to bring him back from the dead.
No.
Really?
That's crazy.
And how did he do it, and why did he do it?
Well, he wanted to use a little known medical procedure at the time known as blood transfusion. Now, a lot of people were into blood stuff then, bloodletting, other blood stuff.
Vampires.
Blood brothers.
But he wanted to use something that was not commonly used. He had learned about it throughout his life, that it was done in the recent last few hundred years. He had seen reports of it being done. And then he also wanted to cut a hole in George Washington's trachea.
And thought that that might help take the blood out, or
might help him breathe.
So that one wasn't about blood. The trachea was just about being able to pump him full of air easier.
Oh, really?
So you can bypass the tongue, and instead you can sort of enclose and simulate lung movement as well as blood movement with the blood transfusion.
It's nothing like bypassing the tongue.
Right. So in doing this, it was authorized by his family?
Hey, you caught me. So his family obviously said no. Because the reason being, they said, George Washington led such a good life. What a pity would it be if we started doing all this weird stuff to his, you know, to his body.
And so he did it of his own volition?
He might have done some other stuff, but it's unknown.
Okay.
So there was an attempt, whether or not it was recorded or successful is unknown. But the attempt was there. He was at the place when his journal says he showed up and Washington was a lifeless corpse, and he said, "I want to do this."
Oh, and they stopped him from doing it. I see. Yes.
Do you know the place, like where this was?
This is Mount Vernon.
But was it like the Mount Vernon morgue? Or was it just like, oh, the living room?
Well, Mount Vernon is the name of his home.
I know, but could he have a morgue in his
home? Right, he had so much land.
I think it was his bed. I mean, I don't think they moved the body to do it.
Danny, do you know a lot of private residences that have their own morgues?
I know Jefferson had a morgue. I know both Adams had a morgue. Jeff, are you looking this up right now?
Benjamin Franklin too, didn't Benjamin?
No,
Franklin,
I'm not looking at it.
Benjamin Franklin invented the
morgue. That guy sucked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all right. He went outside with
a kite
attached to a dead person.
That was attached to a morgue. That's very cool.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that, Tim. Steven, what is your historical fact?
Oh, I don't know if I can top that one, but. 100 years ago, a word was made, and it was boobwazie.
Okay, and what does it mean?
Well, it's a combination of the word boob and bourgeoisie.
Oh,
and it's a group of stupid people, is what this word means.
So bourgeoisie is affluent and highly thought of, whereas boobwazie are a group of stupid people.
Correct.
And when was it used, or why was it used?
It was coined by this guy named H.L. Mencken. He wrote it. He was a scholar, a journalist, and
sounds like a scholar.
He used it in a like a letter 100 years ago, almost like to the day of today.
Boy, I totally thought that was bullshit until you said H.L. Mencken. And then I thought,
So 1921, so in the 20s this was used, but was bourgeoisie as common a phrase in the 20s as it was in the 17 and 1800s?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Right, because you were there. Sorry, I forgot.
No, but bourgeoisie is such a, especially in the 20s.
It is a timeless term.
I was actually wondering about the word boob. For some reason, that feels like a more modern word.
That was invented
by
Jesus.
I think we think of boob as like bosom or breast, whereas in earlier times, boob was thought of as an idiot or a nincompoop.
Oaf.
Yeah. Oaf. Oaf is a good way.
Did Didn't both to ones. Describe it. Didn't Jesus? Yeah. Wasn't Jesus the one who created the word boob?
No, Jesus created the morgue, Danny.
Right, that's right. I'm so sorry, Tim. Thank you.
Remember?
All right. Thank you. All right. Let's do a recap. I will tell you, I'm wrestling with a lot here. So, Danny. Oh, actually, Lily. We started with you, Lily. What was your historical fact?
There is a unique disease on Mount Everest that causes your brain to swell and makes you oddly happy.
All right, Danny.
The largest rotating globe in the world is in Yarmouth, Maine, and it is 1/1,000,000th the size of the Earth as we know it.
All right, Tim.
A man by the name of Dr. William Thornton wanted to resurrect George Washington from the dead through blood transfusion and tracheotomy.
Stephen?
You can call anti-vaxxers boobwazie.
Okay.
Getting political here.
Yeah, at the very tail end. All right. Lily, I think your story is true. Danny, I think, gosh, dang it. Danny, I really think that your story's bullshit. Tim, your story is true. Damn it. Stephen, your story is true. You get 30 points if I guessed wrong. Lily, is your story true or is it bullshit?
My story is bullshit, Jeff.
Dang.
I do want to climb Everest. I did read into thin air.
Okay, I've been holding this back. Lily, you barely commit to lunch. You cannot do this. Even if you had the opportunity, you're not going to do this.
I believe Lily's going to climb Mount Everest.
I honestly, my biggest the thing holding me back is it's like $100,000 to do it. And I only, have half that. So
that's never mind.
Airbnb it on the way.
Never mind. Lily is not doing it. Danny.
Lily can't afford a morgue now. you guess bullshit, but it's 100% true. It is at the headquarters of a map company, and they built this in 1998, and they have a whole store next. It's just literally their headquarters and its offices, and then this giant globe and a store where you can buy smaller versions of that same globe. And atlases. All right. And you can buy a lot of atlases too.
All right. Very nice. Tim, is your story true or is it bullshit?
I'm very happy to report that it is 100% true.
Wow.
This actually happened. There was a guy who was a good friend in life who really wanted to bring him back from the dead.
Wow.
Yikes. People are weird.
And
not like people that time are weird. People are still weird. People still are weird. Steven, is your story true or is it bullshit?
Oh, it's true. That word is awesome.
I totally thought it was bullshit, and then you put H.L. Mencken in, and I thought, oh, I could see H.L. Mencken writing that in some article in like the New Yorker or something. So good work. All right, Stephen, I think I know who won. Stephen, can you give us an update on the score?
Well, Tim was leading, but he ended the game with 15 points. Danny has 30 points. But Lily has 40 God points. Damn
it. Yes!
Congratulations, Lily.
Take pulled that, it out. Daddy's mom.
Yeah, hey, pulled it out at the end.
Don't bring her into this.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Nancy. You're a great woman.
Fantastic. Well.
Lucas, edit all of that out. Please. I don't like anything I just said.
Lucas, leave it in, Lucas.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Danny's mother. So thank you, Danny. Thank you, Danny's mother, for listening. Thank you, Tim, for joining us this week. Tim, do you have anything that you'd like to plug? Any new articles you're writing or any shows that you're doing or anything coming up that we should all be paying attention to?
Yes. Well, I would really love if anybody went on to pretty much any social media platform and looked up at Timmy_the_Metz, spelled M-E-T-Z as in zebra. And you can find me. That's how you can find all my fantasy football work. You can find all, I have a deep dark hole on TikTok with very niche comedy. and you can go enjoy barely liked and viewed videos down there. The dark recesses of Gen Z world. And I additionally, you can find, you know, I got nothing else. I'll be running out on the sidewalk coming up.
Come All right, great, running. Great. And you'll be performing with the touring company. I will say Tim's yes. TikTok and Instagram are very, very funny with a lot of very funny videos. So thank you, Tim, for joining us. And thank you, everyone, for listening. This is Bullshit Alert.
Thanks for listening to Bullshit Alert. Thank you to our guest, Tim Metzler. You can follow Tim on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Timmy_the_Metz. Listen to him more on the AM 1066 radio parody podcast at AM 1066 and the Garden Boys at Garden Boys Haha. And if you're in Chicago, you could probably see him on stage at The Second City. On behalf of Jeff Griggs, Lily Moss, and Danny Marshall, I'm Stephen Carter. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Bullshit Alert, no I. Like, share, and tell your friends about this show. Edited by Lucas Marshka. Theme music by Fred Stark. Check him out at fredstarkmusic.com and Spotify.